99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. 27 minutes past 12. Welcome this beautiful Wednesday afternoon to radio. My name's Joyce Onyemowa, and the sun rises here. You're listening to Ludovico Inuadi, 7 Days Walking, and this is a track off the fourth day. Yeah? And that's the title of the album, Fourth Day Walking, and this is a track off of it. And I hope you love just enough classical music to enjoy this one. So yesterday, I got a book from a young Nigerian, Mfunabong Inyang, a creative genius who works with top individuals and institutions to achieve their media, tech, and communications goals. As a consummate writer, he offers ghostwriting, copywriting, and book consultancy services, a master storyteller that brilliantly churns out premium content for brands and corporate communications, book projects, scripts, and social media. Graduate of economics, he speaks English, Ibibio, Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa languages. The book is titled, Hope is Not a Strategy, Faith is Not a Business Model. I haven't read it yet, so of course I have nothing to say about the book, so I want him to know that this is an acknowledgement of the receipt of this book, and I'm going to read it, and I think I'm particularly curious as to the latter part. Faith is not a business model. I want to hear his argument, and his sub-thought is, Disruptive thoughts for disruptive times. Well, you sound like an outlier. I'm going to have to probe this one and make of it what I can or what I will. So I'm going to read the book. Well, I think it's something that Nigerians are still writing, but even more interestingly, that more Nigerians are reading. And the book is nicely done. So that's also something else I noticed. The book is nicely done. So, I'm sure it's worth a few hours of my time. I'm very sure. Okay. Yesterday on the show, I got messages that I didn't read and quite a number of you a little furious. I even think you were faking it, but I think I'll take you seriously. I do apologize, but I want to say something from most of the messages I got yesterday and private messages. It does quite appear that there's a question we have to give an answer to, which is freedom in marriages. In fact, I got more messages now asking me, so what does it mean to seek freedom in marriage? That some of you actually think it's nothing like that anymore the moment you get married. And some messages refer to the women who called into the show yesterday, specifically seeking freedom in marriage. So I think most of the people, or all of the people who sent messages regarding freedom in marriage, wanted to know what that would mean. So we'll talk about that at a later time. Today on the show, and that's me saying I acknowledge your message and I want you to know we're going to talk about it. Hopefully this Thursday, that's tomorrow, we're going to define love. And I hope there's enough hours on the clock for me to read something so I can extract information. I want to extract information off a book and share that with you. Now, why that's necessary is because I want to give you a frame of reference in regards to where the psychology of love has also been instituted or rooted, which in my opinion has become socially practical. Yeah, but that's tomorrow on Lords of Logic. We're going to talk about love, but I'm going to give you two reference points, and then you're going to try to conceptualize and analyze which of that position you assume, or which reality is yours, or which dogma you hold on to as far as love goes. So you want to look out for that tomorrow on Lords of Logic. But I hope I'm able to read that book today, so that I can accurately give you a reference point in the book. And please don't read the book. Yes, because it's one of them type books. Okay, that's out of the way. I told you about tomorrow. Look out for that. Today on the show, a first hour, we're going to have... Actually, I already have... Well, let's see. You're the doctor. Are you also a doctor?
No.
Okay, are you a doctor?
No.
Okay, so I have a doctor on the show, and you're the only person speaking today, yeah? Okay, so I have guests in the studio, but of course, just one of them would be speaking on cancer in women. Well, I say cancer that has, is now popular popular. And it's sad to say, you would wonder, well, you want to hear about popular things, but certainly not cancer that has gained notoriety and has become prevalent in society. And once upon a time, it probably was not necessarily an African reality. Or maybe it was, but we didn't have a name for it. But here today on the show, there's a conversation about it, on it, within it, and hopefully you can find where you fit into that and find ways to avail yourself of an opportunity we are presenting to you today on the show. My name's Joyce. The sun rises here. Nigeria Info. We'll be right back. To 9.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. My name's Joyce. This beautiful Wednesday afternoon, cervical cancer is the topic. Yeah. And some of you are lucky to not necessarily be aware. Because again, it's not your problem. And God bless you. If it's not your problem, why should you care? But maybe knowledge is necessary, just so that in the event it becomes something that pays you a visit, you know, early enough, quick enough to nip it in the bud. But first, my guest, he's here, Mr. Doctor.
Dr. Kehinde Moradeyo. Moradeyo.
Moradeyo. Great. Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon, Sister Joyce.
Joyce, exactly.
It's a pleasure to have you,
to have me
in today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll be talking about cervical cancer. It's really interesting that much emphasis have not been laid on cervical cancer, but it's actually a cancer that is very, very preventable, and then it's curable if detected early. It's amazing that about 528,000 cases of cervical cancer is reported annually, especially in 2018. We had about 528,000 cases of cervical cancer
from this
in the world, in the whole world, annually in the whole world. And from this, about 311,000 deaths. You can see nearly 60% of those that had that cases resulted into deaths. So that's why it's important for us to talk about cervical cancer. And then the burden is also in the less developed countries. 90% of these cases usually occur in less developed countries like Nigeria has. That's why we're talking about cervical cancer. And then
I want to ask you a question. Can I?
Yeah, you can go on.
Let's begin from what I would say, what it is. What is it? What is cervical cancer?
Cervical cancer is a cancer that is situated in the woman reproductive organ.
Human or women?
Woman.
So it's a female. Okay.
Female organ. Reproductive tract.
Okay.
Especially the neck of the womb. That's why you see it.
Okay.
And it's a place that is accessible, that we can see. It's not hidden. And then, most women that normally have this cervical cancer normally present late, when practically nothing can be done to save those women. And like I said, it's preventable if detected early. So we are here to talk about cervical cancer because we know it's practically preventable. And
okay.
then you it saddens us when we see women that present to our hospitals with cervical cancer that we practically cannot do anything to help their situation unless that we do palliative. So we'll be talking about what causes this cervical cancer. What can be done to prevent it? Because prevention, they say, is better than cure.
So let's talk about causes first. So this is cancer somewhere in the cervix. So what are the causes?
Primarily, cervical cancer is a sexually transmitted
cancer
infection.
Okay.
The human papilloma virus, the virus that leads to cervical cancer, is sexually transmitted infection. And then, because it's a sexually transmitted infection, we all know that you cannot, to the unmarried, abstinence is the best one that you can advise them to do. But in the case that they cannot do that, you advise them to have a condom barrier. Condom actually can prevent sexually human papilloma virus, somebody contracting that infection. And as aside from that, aside from human papilloma virus being the main infection that can lead to cervical cancer, there are other factors that may lead, that may be risk factors to cervical cancer. Multiple sexual partners. And then, apart from multiple sexual partners, early age at marriage, early age at first sexual intercourse. So you will see that all what I'm talking about sexually related. And then this art is commonly among the adolescents. They want to experiment and everything. But the infection can be transmitted during that period. But one thing is that sexually transmitted infection, before the development of that cancer, it takes about 15 to 20 years for development of that cancer. That affords us the opportunity to do something to nip it in the bud before development of that cervical cancer. Because by the time somebody is exposed to that human papilloma virus, it takes, the natural history is well understood and there is no, it's not debatable, that it takes an average of 15 to 20 years before that cervical cancer can develop. So okay, what do we do within that window of opportunity that we're supposed to nip it in the bud? We'll be talking about as
Well, thank you. Now I have another question to ask you, which is somewhat lateral. If you say that what causes cervical cancer is actually a transmitted virus,
yes,
then I think that while on one hand the woman, wait, are we also implying that men are the ones carrying the virus?
Yes, men carry the virus too. They carry it, yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. I'm with you.
Yes, like I said, it is sexually transmitted infection that can be gotten from men contact. And then, you know, if somebody is not practicing safe sexual practices and...
I understand you. Are men natural carriers of the virus?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So shouldn't men also be concerned that they bear a virus that they can transmit? Or you get what I mean? Because I think women seem to be the major focus, but shouldn't we be nipping it in the bud? And that would also mean that men are checking themselves.
I guess what you are saying now. You know,
because if the man checks himself, the
human papilloma virus itself, apart from causing cervical cancers, it also causes some problems. It's also causing some problem like pharyngitis.
Oh, okay.
So they can have some pharyngioma in the pharynx, the windpipe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but that one may not necessarily cause cervical cancer.
Okay.
So, and then in some women too, it can cause genital warts. It's a benign tumor in that area, in the genital area, in the mons pubis, in the area that the external genitalia of the woman, you can have it there. But that one does not lead to cancer. What we are particular about...
The one that leads to cancer?
Yes.
And that's usually sexually transmitted?
Both are sexually transmitted.
Okay.
You know, the one that causes genital warts is also acquired through sexually transmitted.
Okay, or infection. Okay, so then why aren't you talking about men as well? Isn't that also a concern?
Yeah, we are concerned because we cannot use an holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
If we are to talk about cervical cancer, we also talk about men too. And then that's why I said,
basically those
when we are talking about prevention of this cancer, you know, you have to also take care of men that are carrying this transmission.
Exactly.
So that's why I've not really mentioned that. When we're talking about prevention, we talk about vaccination of young boys too and men too. That's why.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the women conversation. So a woman might have had this virus transmitted to her, and it would take about 15 to 20 years for the cancer to develop. At what point is she supposed to, particularly if she had no, if she doesn't think that anything is wrong with her, she would not readily necessarily just submit herself to a doctor's scrutiny for checks. But are you now, as a doctor, advising that women have to do it, you know, to prevent the unnecessary from occurring?
Thank you, Joyce. I actually like that question because I said that we have the window opportunity of 15 to 20 years to do something. And then, before the development of the cancer, we have a pre-malignant lesion, pre-cancerous lesion, pre-cancerous stage that we can actually detect and treat. So, and then the pre-cancerous stage does not show any symptoms. That's why we advise women from 25 years upwards to go for cervical cancer screening at any designated hospitals so that they will be offered the screening, and then every 3 to 5 years, if they are negative in the previous screening, they will also continue until they are 65 years of age before they actually stop the screening exercise.
Out of curiosity, is it possible that women who also have stuck to one partner might also fall victim to cervical cancer? Because, I mean, I think on one hand, those who have multiple partners are probably feeling guilty now, but what about those who have stuck to one partner and have been faithful? What's the risk factor for them?
Yes, that's a good question. Being faithful, fine, we appreciate that a woman should be faithful to her husband and everything. But
yeah, what about the husband being faithful to the wife?
Yes, that's where we're going.
No, that's not where you went.
No. you are not sure.
Okay.
What the husband is doing, but it's very practical that all women above 25 years, they should go for that screening. Mm. 3 yearly, 5 yearly, until they're 65.
Okay, so married, single, unfaithful, faithful, go get screened.
Go get screened.
I'm going to detour a little bit. The men who carry this virus, yeah? I know that they are listening. And I want to know, really, because you see, from your narrative, at least from your submission, you're saying that largely the virus is transmitted sexually. Should men also go get tested regularly? And what are they looking out for? Do you understand? Because to be honest with you, this is a world of sin. And this, people have more sex than they breathe these days. Like you talk to a person and he passes out, and it's a sexual vision in his imagination. There's hardly any holy moment these days. So for a world that's sexually active and rising, say, health conditions or health complications, you've highlighted how this affects women. It would even appear that your mission is targeted towards women. But I'm saying that there's a lateral concern for me. The guys, I just want to give them something to have. What should they go check? What should they check for? And if they can even prevent themselves from having the virus, what can they do? Then we'll come back to the women.
Thank you, Joyce. For the men, usually when men, when they present to the hospital with concerns about a sexually transmitted infection, the onus is on the doctor to screen them very well. There are some tests that are supposed to be done, like urethra swab. Also in that swab, one should also look out for human papilloma virus. Mm. What you don't look out for, you don't get. If you are only concerned about bacterial infection only, you may not detect human papilloma virus. So the thing is that when men submit themselves to the doctor, they should not look at treating only bacteria like the common one, gonorrhea,
syphilis,
and cold. We should do holistic approach.
If a man had a virus, for example, would he have any symptoms? Would he show any symptoms?
He can show some symptoms, but there are not specific symptoms that you... doing that test that will detect whether the person has...
So without the knowledge of the test, he can just live with the virus and he's fine.
And yes. Very, very, very
true. So that's why when he gets into a sexual game, then he passes something and then it takes 15 years to develop in the woman.
Yes.
All right. So back to the women. All right. Now, you say the window, 15 to 20 years, you can do something as a doctor if a woman prevents, presents herself early.
Yes.
So let's begin from the non-tragic stages of, say, discovering maybe benign situations around the cervix. If a woman presents early and you as a doctor, you screen her and you find something, usually what is it that you might find that could suggest that if this doesn't get fixed quickly, it might become cancer in the future? And what do you tell the woman to do?
Thank you. Usually when we screen women for cervical cancer, then we detect that they have abnormal pap smear. We usually request them to come to the hospital. At the same sitting where some we treat, depending on the stage they are in, like you have asked, which one is likely to quickly develop into cancer. Yes,
yeah.
We have those ones that are mild, that are not, that are low grade, and we have those ones that are what, severe grade of the precancerous lesion that can quickly lead to cancer. The low grade is mild; it may not, it may regress. It may go on its own.
Okay.
Without treatment, it may go on its own, the low grade. And then the high grade is one where we are worried about. When we see the results, we usually want to be aggressive and treat that patient. There are several modes of treatment. It ranges from what? Just ablating, cryotherapy, putting some form of heat around that cervix for some minutes, and then the whole area will try to cauterize the whole area, and the patient will be free of cervical cancer. And then there are some treatment that also involves using excision. It can be an office procedure too, with little local anesthesia, and then one will excise those areas that we have found that can lead to cervical cancer.
Okay.
In doing this, it's 100% curable. 100% was curable without causing much of discomfort. So that woman in question, there's no question that the woman cannot give birth again. And then this is the stage that we should be talking about, because it has been practiced in UK, and they have seen a significant result and reduction of death up to 80% in those people that present to the hospital. That's why. It's just that, in Nigeria, because of poor resources, and then there's no organized cervical screening. Like I said, that women are supposed to be coming every 3 to 5 years to screen when they're above 25 to 65 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you can bet it here. Somebody that cannot feed, doesn't have money to feed, will go for cervical screening. It's not even free in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And abroad too, they will have sent letter to your house by the time you are doing your 25th birthday. And 6 months before that time, you receive a letter. A week before that time, you receive another letter. Then you go free. They will do it. They will send the result to you. You always come in every 3 years. They remind you. But we can, then that what we do in the hospital is more of opportunistic screening exercise.
Okay.
When women come from another reproductive health reasons, we take that opportunity to screen them for the cervical cancer. So in that way, and then we offer treatment at once. Sometimes we do something visual inspection to see, and then we add what we call acetic acid or lingozyodine to see the lesion, whether there's a lesion there or so. At that sitting too, we try to treat at the same time.
Yeah.
Because the pap smear takes about some time for the result to come out.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about 10 days for you to see the result, and then the woman has to come twice to the hospital.
All right. So before we go off on a break, I want to ask you this question. You are a pediatrician.
Gynecologist.
A gynecologist. Oh, forgive me. I'm not sure why I saw the other one. A gynecologist with Grover Hospital.
Hospital, yes.
Okay. And the hospital is organizing free screening.
Yeah, medical outreach.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're going to talk about that in a moment. I don't know which question to ask you first. I want to ask you about prevention, what women can do to prevent themselves, even while, you introduce us to this opportunity the hospital is offering the general public for free?
Yes.
For free?
For free.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep. As Groovers, as part of our corporate social responsibility to the populace, we usually do this thing yearly. And the team for this, we chose cervical cancer this year.
Okay, hold on a second. We're going to go off on a break and come right back. Dr. Kane right here in the studio live from Grover's Hospital, and he is here to speak on cervical cancer and the fact that the hospital is offering you an opportunity to come get free screen, well, come get screened for free, and hopefully there's nothing wrong with you. Otherwise, maybe God bless you, early enough detection saves you from eventual death from cancer. So, Dr. Kane, go ahead.
Like I said before the short break, at Grover's Hospital, we come this Saturday, 28th of November 2021, between the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are organizing free cervical cancer screening to all women above the age of 25 years. That we want to do that. We have eminent gynecologists in our midst that will do that perfectly. And we also have cytologists too. That will help us to read, to process the samples that we have collected from women. And apart from this, it's 3-in-1 outreach.
Okay.
Because we are focusing on women, because we center this year's theme of our yearly outreach program on women.
Social corporate responsibility?
Yes.
Okay.
We center it on women. So coming, when coming to that, for that screening, we also have a free gynecological consult. Our gynecologist team on ground. And then, apart from that too, those ones that have been screened, that have been consulted, examined, we also have a free ultrasound scan done if it's indicated.
You know, oh, beautiful.
When they, you know, just to do ultrasound scan for them. Those ones that have been consulted, that have been examined, seen, and if they have ultrasound scan, any need for ultrasound scan, to be free of charge for that day.
Oh, that's
just
good.
For coming, just to, for them leaving the house to come and partake in the cervical screening exercise. They also have two other opportunities
to
benefit from the screening program.
What time and what's the location?
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, 28th November 2021.
Okay.
Is at Grover's Hospital, is at 81A Eunice Bashorun Street, Victoria Island, off Ajose Adeogun.
Okay.
It's very close to the Echo Hotel.
Okay. Now, you say women be above 25, 10 a.m. to come, 10
a.m.
To 4
p.m. Yep.
Okay. Now, I wanted you to also speak about prevention. Maybe someone has done some screening last year, 2 years ago, maybe even this year. I think it's necessary that you touch on prevention.
Yes, we preach this more. Prevention of cervical cancer, we preach this more. Like I said, I started about abstinence. Those that are married. And then those that are married to, those that are married, those that cannot abstain, they should prevent themselves by using condoms, and it's also apart from that too, vaccine. We have HPV vaccine when it was introduced in 2006, and it has gone through a lot of reforms like that. We have some that covers about, because one thing about this cervical, the human papilloma virus, is have different strains that you can see, but the vaccine also helps to prevent from getting that HPV infection.
Okay.
And then the vaccine, usually we target men, boys and girls, especially between the ages of 9 to 16, school age men, boys and girls.
Okay.
And then they will receive it 2 or 3 times, and then
they're safe.
And then we've offered that, like I said, it offers protection, that the one that has been proven, because this vaccine has not been used for long, but at least for now, the protection is offer about 10 years protection to those people have used it, because the research is still ongoing to know whether it is a lifelong protection.
We are
sure that it can protect
for 10 years.
At least for 10 years.
So more information when people show up at the clinic on Saturday. So what's the address again?
81A Unis Bashorun Street, Victoria Island, off Ajose Adeogun, and the name of the hospital is Grover's Hospital. Thank you for coming. I can assure you, when you come, you will be glad that you are there, because we want all our women to be
free
fine,
from cancer,
free of cancer, and then more especially, we want them to be free of something that does not need to cost them their life. It's preventable. All we should preach it. It's preventable and curable. 100%. Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're off on a break. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. We've been speaking with Dr. Kendi from Grover's Hospital. This is Nigeria Info. Don't go anywhere.